Ready, down, hunt, 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 hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
I think he's got a chance. When years ago, I was like, oh my God, I don't think this guy's going to be very good at all. I'm willing to allow for the possibility that he's going to be good.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from. Boucher Automotive. We are driven by you. Also sponsored by Century Foods. Win two tickets to see Green Bay host Kansas City on Sunday, December 3rd. Compliments of Century Foods. Find the weekly code on Century's Facebook or Instagram and enter to win.
Do we have it on the poll? Can we put it on the poll? What day is Chewy at his best? And I know we only have four options, but Monday's clearly not.
Yeah.
I mean, we take out Monday.
So we were tossing that around. We could get that out as well, but we were doing a percentage-based Chewy checked in versus Chewy checked out.
Okay.
So
maybe something like that.
Yeah, but we can do that as well because I think people have a lot to say on Chewy's checked in and checked outness.
Does Jason have a day?
Oh, we'll find out right now. We welcome in our friend, our teammate. We welcome in Jason Wilde to the program. Joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Hello, Jason.
What? All right, first of all, I don't know about the remainder of the show, the other hour 45 or so, but during my segments, the 3 days that I'm on, Chewy is most definitely checked in. He's definitely not checked out. He may be as focused as he is all week.
Because you're my eyes on the ground, Jason. That's why. I'm the general sitting back. Jason's doing all the dirty work. Jason, you're my intel.
The general sitting back doing all the dirty work. Does the general really do the dirty work? Or does the eyes on the ground guy do the dirty work? And then he reports back to
you? That's what he's saying. He's saying you're his eyes on the ground doing all the dirty work. Chewy's just sitting back in his tower waiting for your report.
Well, we have someone in the studio here, Jason, that's changing his role that thinks he's the general now. You should see the confidence this guy's walking around with.
I am the captain.
Holy cow.
I'm the captain, Chewy. I'm not the
Jason.
General.
Do you have a money day? Like a money day? Like I'm always dialed in on Thursday. Or Taush?
No, I don't. I'm. First of all, this is a fine topic, and I'm not here to judge your choices that you make on your program. But I don't.
However,
I don't get this. However. I don't get the sense that you guys aren't checked in or checked out ever. Secondly,
you should listen to the show on Mondays, Jason. Chewy is admittedly checked out on Mondays.
Yeah.
After a game?
That might be different,
no,
but like
not.
He hates Mondays more than anything. He's like
more
Garfield
the
cat.
Yeah, it's not.
That
good.
Is an outstanding reference, and I'm sure you have a coffee mug that says that on it. Let's just move on.
Okay.
Jason, if Aaron Jones doesn't play, is this kind of an audition for Dylan? I mean, does it, in order to be the guy next year, doesn't he have to show him like a 150-yard game?
Yeah, totally agree. He didn't get a lot of help. There were a couple of his runs where he got walloped because they were poorly blocked. But I didn't think he obviously had a great outing in Chicago. And this is a guy who, when I talked to him in the offseason, acknowledged that he was pressing, wanting a contract and all those types of things. So, if Jones does not go, it's a huge opportunity for him. To show what he's capable of and give them reason to say, okay, we need to think about bringing him back. Unless we get Jonathan Taylor at the trade deadline, then forget about him. Here's the thing that I find interesting about the Jones injury, not the fact that he downplayed it right after the game and claimed he could have gone back in, because all you guys are like that, right? You guys,
yeah.
Especially when you're operating on adrenaline. But they had a really good training camp health-wise, right? Like, they really got through camp healthy. Like, Devondre Campbell missed a little bit of time with an ankle injury. But other than that, they were really fortunate injury-wise. And now, they played their first game without their deep threat wide receiver because of a hamstring injury. And I don't think he's going to play this week either. I mean, maybe he'll do a little bit today, but I doubt it. So they're being cautious with him. And now, you know, we'll see what Jones does today. I still think that there's a chance that he'll be limited today, be listed as questionable, and then be on a pitch count on Sunday. But if they don't have him or Christian Watson, you know, this will be a great test for the quarterback on handling the adversity of not having all your pieces, which we know Aaron Rodgers had plenty of those games during his career, right? I mean, they went to Arizona a couple years ago without their top three wide receivers, including Adams. Like, this is sometimes what quarterbacks have to do. He just would much rather not have Jordan Love doing this early on. I also, do they have a hamstring problem?
Mm.
Like, if this was Mike McCarthy, wouldn't we be killing him for all the muscle pull injuries? You know, he started to do his, you know, foot bath Friday or whatever it was, where they just did massages and yoga because they had so many muscle pulls. Well, you know, they were able to have Romeo Doubs play last Sunday, but he's got a, you know, it's like the old Oprah thing. You've got a hamstring and you've got a hamstring and you've got a hamstring. Like, three of your most important offensive players are dealing with the same injury. Is that something, you know, in terms of the way they're going about their work that is leading to that? I'd be curious what the athletic training staff thinks.
Jason, did you guys get a chance to talk with Luke Musgrave? How does he feel he played last week? Because despite having a pretty decent line of 3 for 50, it felt like it was, you know, again, he couldn't stay. If he stays on his feet, it could have been a touchdown. You know, I know on the television broadcast, Greg Olson talked about how maybe he cut off his route a little too much on the one that Jordan Love overthrew him, that he's got to, you know, kind of take it more up the field, and that's where Jordan Love's going to throw the ball. How does the coaching staff feel he played? How does he feel he played in his first game in the NFL?
You know, Steno was not asked about his performance, and maybe this is a blind spot by us, because I guess I kind of thought of him as a rookie player who had kind of a rookie type of game, right? Like, he had some good moments. And like you said, the stumbling, bumbling, fumbling was less than ideal. But I, of all the things that I was thinking about in terms of, you know, because I think in terms of story angles, right?
So, mm-hmm.
You know, I did something on Darnell Savage today about, you know, here's a guy who got benched last year and we kind of felt like they only kept him because they were on the hook for the fifth-year option of $7.9 million. But, you know, he played really well in Chicago. He had a tackle for loss. He didn't miss a tackle, which is what got him benched in the first place last year. I'm going to write about Zach Tom for Sunday with the help of two really good right tackles in Tausch and Brian Bulaga, who talked about him on the show earlier in the week. And then today I'm going to write about the kicker and the punter, who I thought were taking a risk that they took of going young at that position, both got off to a really good start, right? I mean, I like Daniel Whalen, kicks a 68-yard punt and says, you know, if I had gotten a little more hang time, it would have bounced back and I wouldn't have gotten a touchback. I love an attitude like that. But I never even really thought about writing anything about Musgrave. I kind of felt like, yeah, it would have been nice if he hadn't tripped and fallen, but I didn't really think in terms of a negative review of his performance. So, Gabe, that's a really good point, actually. Like, and maybe I'm just grading on a curve. Like, Chewy, you know this. Like, I just much prefer veteran players, not only for my ability to do my job, but I just like guys who know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the last couple of weeks, it's been very clear in conversations with both Matt LaFleur and Adam Stenovich that they're definitely simplifying things. Like, everyone kind of made a big deal of my question that I asked LaFleur about how many times the quarterback ran a play that wasn't the call. And he said, well, except for the time when I didn't get him a call, zero. And what maybe I should have also asked as a follow-up to that was, hey, how much simpler of a scheme are you running with all these children that are playing the positions instead of veteran players? Because I know he's, and I don't know what he would have said, but I don't think there's any question that this is a much more simplified approach they're taking offensively.
The reason why I just wanted to bring up Musgrave, Jason, because I'm just thinking, okay, if Aaron Jones isn't available, if Christian Watson's not available, if Romeo Doubs is not available, in terms of explosive plays, like, he's kind of next on the list this week. And depending upon his confidence level heading into the game, like, I'm just kind of curious where he's sitting, because if you're looking for big explosive plays, that may be where they have to go given their current injury status.
Yeah, I don't think he, again, I can't say that I've discussed this with him, but he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who would have a crisis of confidence, even though he looked bad on the two deep balls. And in fairness to him, like you said, you know, he did catch one of them. And the head coach gave him a hard time for, never seen anybody be that wide open, that close to the goal line, and not score. But look, I think he's going to be a really good player. My concern with him was whether or not he's going to stay healthy, right? Like, guy played two games last year at Oregon State, and I know it was a knee injury, and those can happen to anybody. But he's just, you know, kind of Gronk. He's Gronk-esque, mm-hmm. right? And what did people do to Gronk? They didn't want to tackle him, so they would tackle him low, and he dealt with his fair share of knee issues and other problems. And so I just hope that they can keep him healthy, because I think he can be the kind of field-tilting tight end that they haven't had in a long time, probably not since Chewy was calling JerMichael Finley a moron.
I was right.
Yeah, I got so much heat for that. He you know, he couldn't confront Chewy, so he confronted me in the locker room because I was on at the time with Chewy, and I was like, well. And then after everybody kind of dissipated because they were all interested in the argument, I said, dude, you do realize, like, Aaron Rodgers wants you to come to his room each night before the game and go through the plays that you're the focus on and make sure you've got them all. And you don't ever go like that. You realize that frustrates him a lot, right? Like, if you did that, maybe that would change the perception of you, and Aaron would talk about it more. And then lo and behold, a few weeks later, you know, he started going, right away for several weeks, he started going to Rodgers and doing that. And then he stopped again. So, yes, Chewy, you had a fair point in retrospect.
Thank you.
We probably should have chosen a different phraseology. Fair?
Fair. Jason, I know it's one game, but if Love keeps playing like he did or progresses or plays nicely, let's say they're 6-4 after 10. Should they sign him to a long-term extension? Do you think they will? Do you think that'll happen if he plays good this year?
Yeah, it certainly would make sense. And certainly his agent would want that, right, of the security of a long-term deal. Here's the thing that gives me pause on that. So I thought, I was convinced, and I talked to a few people around the league before the May 1st deadline, and they were convinced too. I was convinced that they were going to give him the fifth-year option. Like, I was certain of it. Like, I'm not sure there's anything that I've been more wrong about that I was more certain about and then turned out to be wrong in all my time doing this than that. Because I figured, look, this is Goody's guy. They have the cap room to do it, obviously. They'll be rid of Rodgers by the time that they have the $20 million cap hit for the fifth-year option for him. Like, there's no way they're not going to do it. Goody's going to want to say, hey, my guy, this is my guy. And then Goody said, after the draft, when we asked him about the fifth-year option, Bill Huber from Sports Illustrated asked. And he said, well, we're still working through that. And Bill, who was in the same place as I was, said, well, why wouldn't you? And the quote was, that's a lot of money for a guy who hasn't played. And that's the guy who drafted him saying that. Mm. And so it gives me pause to wonder, is it possible that Goody will want even more data points and even more, you know, games played? I mean, they could sign him to an extension in the offseason and make sure they have 17 games of him playing, right? Theoretically.
Yeah.
So my even though my instinct is to say, yeah, if he plays at that level, if he plays like he did against the Bears, against all these other teams, I definitely can see that. I have to pause and say, but maybe they want more first. They've got him under their control, kind of like baseball players with arbitration years and whatever else. they've got him for next year. Now, and do I think he's going to play well enough where he can hold out in camp next year? I don't. So I guess my feeling is that, you know, you've got him, you've got this deal in place. If he plays really, really well, then sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't say for certain. I feel like I was wrong, so wrong about the fifth-year option that even though that makes sense, I can't say that that's what they'll do.
Jason, we appreciate the time. Look forward to hearing you coming up in about an hour and a half on Wilde and Tausch.
All right, fellas. I appreciate you. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Coming up next, we're going to continue more Packers conversations, maybe talk a little Bucks, as Craig Karmazin, founder and CEO of Good Karma Brands, is going to be joining us coming up next. Get perked up. Let me tell you guys about Perky's Old Fashioned. It's an old-fashioned mix with the booze already inside. With both brandy and bourbon options, get Grandma Perky's secret whenever, wherever. All you have to do is add the soda. I'm more of a brandy guy, but if you want the bourbon's fantastic as well. Maybe you should just, you know, just in case if you're hosting people this weekend, you don't know what they prefer, brandy or bourbon, maybe just get a bottle of both. If you find Perky's near you and go to PerkysOldFashioned.com, Perky's Old Fashioned, locally made, Wisconsin made, your bartender in a bottle.